what used to be controlled by just your standard marketing department is now so vast. And I think that's why strategy is so super important, because there's just so many playgrounds to play on and so many places to get your voice heard and things to tick, you know, boxes to tick from a marketing perspective. And you need to make sure that you are playing in the right place.
Then, because the business owner just can't get out of their own way, so that they almost jeopardize the marketing strategy. They fall back into these old habits and they're like, no, but I'm just going to do it myself. I know what I'm doing. And then it just delays the impact that you can have by letting the experts run it.
Bringing someone in who's got years and years of experience in that one silo of your business is really, really important.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. You're at the right place. Meet Kirsten Dixon. She's the powerhouse behind Pink Soda Marketing. They are a bold agency shaking up B2B marketing by replacing legacy tactics with clarity-led creativity. If you're stuck doing the same old stuff just because that's what the industry does, Pink Soda is your wake-up call. Today, Kirsten and I are going to dive deep into the heart of business marketing, the red lights of legacy marketing, how bold campaigns are born, and why being in the arena matters more than perfection. So this episode is for any professional or business owner who needs a reality check of what their marketing is doing currently in 2025 and how to find your way back to your right place. Kirsten, thank you so much for your time. Really looking forward to talking to you today.
Likewise, John. Super stoked to be here.
Awesome, Kirsten. So let's dive straight into talking about marketing. What on earth is happening in the marketing landscape in 2025 that is exciting you but also scaring you at the same time?
I think it's a great question, because there is actually so much happening in the marketing space, and that's the point. Marketing has evolved exponentially over the last few years, obviously with the introduction of social media and digital platforms expanding as they have been. There's the introduction of AI coming into play. So what used to be controlled by just your standard marketing department is now so vast. And I think that's why strategy is so super important, because there's just so many playgrounds to play on and so many places to get your voice heard and things to tick, you know, boxes to tick from a marketing perspective. And you need to make sure that you are playing in the right place. I think that AI is extremely exciting. Everyone's talking about it. I think we've got a very long way to go in terms of how we're integrating AI into our marketing. It's not a quick fix, but it's definitely opened up some amazing doors to efficiency and creativity, which is really cool.
Kirsten, you mentioned something interesting there, which is marketing strategy. And I think a lot of maybe business owners or companies, they don't even want to talk strategy. They just want to execute. They want to, where are we going to put this advert? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? They just want to go guns blazing. Tell me about the importance of strategy, especially in this world that is so noisy and AI is taking over and people think they can just do everything themselves.
100%. Strategy is so, so, so important before any execution takes place, because marketing can be done quickly and easily and by just about anyone because of the tools that we have. But because it is so competitive, because we have so many businesses, especially on the digital front, competing, it becomes more and more difficult to stand out, becomes more and more difficult to reach a really highly targeted audience. So being able to put a little bit of structure behind the creativity, like we call it at Pink Soda, bringing clarity to creativity, makes it so much more efficient in terms of your marketing plan to reach the goals. So we'll take a step back and say, let's start with the end in mind. What is the outcome that we're trying to reach here? And then work backwards to understand exactly how we go about doing that. So doing a deep dive into understanding who really is your target audience, because a lot of companies think that they know that and they would sort of top level. But where do we find them? And, you know, when you start digging into the deeper details, it often unlocks opportunities that aren't obvious. So a question we ask our clients, which seems a bit weird, is, cool, you understand your target audience, but, you know, what is their lifestyle like, for example? So because we work in the B2B space, it's often role related or, you know, industry related. We say, cool, you're speaking to the operations manager or the chief security officer or whatever the role is, but who is he outside of his work? You know, is he on the golf course or she? Do they have kids? Do they travel a lot? Because then we start to see, okay, there's potentially an opportunity at golf courses or airports or schools, you know, depending on what it is we're trying to achieve. So being able to put a little bit of structure around digging in a bit deeper makes it a lot more impactful when we get to do the things that we do. And standing out isn't easy, you know. I think what we see a lot and what you mentioned just now is that B2B tends to be legacy driven. It's, you know, the strategy or the tactic that just works well in the industry, or, you know, we do what we've always done because it works well. And then how do you stand out in that space? Because everyone's saying the same thing on the same platforms to the same people. So being able to do a really thorough strategy upfront, looking at what's working, looking at search volumes, for example, on specific search terms. Is there an opportunity? Is it oversaturated? It really makes a huge difference before you get into that execution to make sure that everything is really well thought out.
Excellent, Kirsten. Now, you mentioned something there about legacy marketing. What are some of those red flags that you see on a constant basis? And maybe describe how you would address those or help to change people's mindsets.
I think typically in the B2B space, the creativity doesn't come forward immediately. So, you know, it's using the same terms that everyone else is using, putting an ad out. And I find what happens so often is that customers just want to go straight into lead gen, right? So they know there's a need for marketing, and they know that they've got a sales team who needs to be supported. And it's like, cool, let's run a LinkedIn campaign for lead gen and let's put X amount of money behind it. And then it seems logical, you know, we pay the money, we set a target audience, we get the leads coming in, we give it to our sales team. Perfect. That's marketing. And I think you need to think a little bit more about that and understand that there's different levels to marketing. Lead gen is the sort of towards the end of our funnel. You've got to think about how you're connecting with people right up at the top. How are you getting them to trust you? Because that's a big problem that people battle with is, any business can look like a big business online in these days, especially with the introduction of AI. You can have a copywriter, a graphic designer, you can have a beautiful big website, you can have your campaigns going live. So people are a lot more wary of actually committing and taking a step forward. And I think so often what we see as well is the outreach sales drive that people go to, and everyone's tired of being sold to. So I think you've really got to be quite clever about breaking that mold and understanding where the different tiers of marketing have their positions.
No, that's a wonderful breakdown there. And I think it makes me think of a quote that I heard from Renier Lombard, who said, "I really want to buy from you, but please don't sell to me." People are just oversold. And I think, like you mentioned earlier as well, people think they know who their ideal customer is or the ideal target market is that they should be talking to. But if you're a few degrees off course there, you can just be going in completely the wrong direction. Is this maybe why Pink Soda developed the Pink Soda Elixir to help with this?
Definitely. So I think what we find is because we come in as an agency in the B2B space, we're very often working with the directors of the company, the CEO, he's got his vision. He knows what he's trying to achieve as, you know, the head of the business. He's got his business objectives. And he doesn't necessarily care about, or she, I keep saying he or she, or they, don't necessarily care about the pretty fluffy marketing stuff. But they want to see the framework, you know, how are we doing this? Why does it make sense? If I had to, for example, say to you, like, oh, the best thing that you can do is you can do a collaboration with Checker 6060 and it's going to cost you 2 million rand to run a 1 month campaign, you're going to go, cool, Kirsten, but that makes no sense. You know, why does it make sense for me? So I think being able to bridge that gap between like the art, the fun, fluffy side of marketing and the logic, the analysis, the data, and then the cost makes it so much more clear to understand why the strategy makes sense and how we're going to break those molds.
No, 100%, Kirsten. And talking about cost, when you present budgets and gaps to B2B teams, how do they typically respond? Are they relieved? Are they defensive? I mean, if you're too transparent, they can easily pick it apart and tear your budget to pieces.
I think how we position it is that we're very transparent. It's a big value for me as a business owner. And it's not necessarily about just cost. It's about value. So what is the value that we are bringing forward? And I think with starting with an outcome, you know, in the initial phase, it's like we know what the outcome is we're trying to achieve. So if we are really good at our job, that's what the business will get out of it. That kind of sets the mindset straight of, you know, someone's not just trying to pull the wool out of our eyes and make a lot of money out of a marketing campaign. They are in our team. They are on the boat striving towards the same goal. So I think when you look at it like that, it makes a lot more sense. We also do provide like a more tiered approach to say, cool, here's the biggest, best budget. If we have to do this, we'll get the greatest results and we can go guns blazing. But here's two other tiers just to see, you know, where are we at? What's the appetite? What's affordable for the company? And then we can go from there.
Okay, excellent. That makes a lot of sense. And I think clients should be looking for that and should be asking for that from their service providers, not just showing them this is the only way to do this, but giving them a couple of options, I think gives them comfort that you can still fine tune it. You can still have some say in how you're going to execute it. Is this one of the things that you have to explain over and over to clients as well?
Yeah, I think that people always get a little bit defensive when it comes to numbers. But I think the benefit is being able to see the long-term plan. So it's not just about what are we charging you this month or for the next 3 months. It's like, what does this look like for your business over the next 12 months? And because it's really clear and they understand the value that they're getting out of it, I think it's less resistant. There's less resistance. And yeah, it's just about walking that journey with them. So being able to take them through at each phase and understand where are we at now. So being able to start off with a workshop where we consult with the clients, because there's a lot of history and insight in terms of their industry that they can offer us to craft the best plan. And then being able to take them through the numbers, the cold hard facts, what is happening on your website. Because I think that's another important point to note is that, you know, there's a lot of quick fixes. There's Google ad campaigns and LinkedIn ads, but there's no point putting a Band-Aid over like a bleeding wound that's not healing. It's looking at things like we can drive traffic to your website, but is your website even, you know, retaining customers? Does it have the right information on what is that user experience like? So when you start sort of analyzing and bringing the gaps to the surface and saying from the beginning, you know, these are missed opportunities or these are the bigger priorities we need to focus on now before we start the campaign. It really just makes everything quite clear. And I think it's also quite informative and educational, depending on, you know, who we're speaking to, their experience. It's quite nice to be enlightened about what does this actually look like on the back end? Because I think if you aren't in it like we are every single day, it can become quite overwhelming. And, you know, marketing terms get thrown at you and you don't really know what the hell's going on. So I think being able to walk that journey with an agency who becomes your partner is really, really important to feel more at ease about the outcome.
No, and one of those terms that I hear thrown around and I don't always understand it is an omni-channel approach. What is your definition of that? And what is Pink Soda's approach to helping a client build a proper omni-channel approach in 2025?
So omni-channel is about looking at various different touch points. And it's hugely, hugely important because, as I say, you know, if we are looking at running, let's say, a LinkedIn campaign or a Google Ads campaign, those are individually a single platform. But we need to be looking at once someone clicks through, what's the next thing? So the website is a platform. What's happening on the website? Is there an email campaign that follows a download or an action taken? What does that look like? You know, you could look at sort of some of your traditional media things as well as specific channels. You can look at on-site activations. So there's lots of different platforms that we need to look at to have an omni-channel effect, so that if someone's just seeing something, you know, on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or LinkedIn once, and they're not sort of seeing the bigger brand, it doesn't have as much of an impact. And not everyone is on the same platform at the same time. So being able to break down all the different touch points is really, really important. And I think to go a step further than that, it's looking at the different silos in your business. So what we'll often see is we could have a really successful marketing campaign, generate leads, send them through, and then there's no sales structure to follow up, or maybe there's a poor culture of lead time and getting back to clients, or, you know, there's no CRM system in place to make sure that leads are being followed up on. So there's certain different things that need to play a part with marketing that's really, really important, instead of just being focused on one single part of a marketing plan.
No, excellent question. One of the things that I've seen in my space, in the connecting people and ideas space, is panic networking, where things aren't happening and suddenly people want to network like crazy. They pop up out of the blue, they're throwing business cards at you, and they're trying to make something happen because they're not hitting their sales figures or they've lost traction in the market. Do you see that as well? Like people coming to you in a panic and they want to go guns blazing, we need to start marketing, and they expect results over a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We see it all the time. There's a lot of panic. Maybe there's been a dip in the sales funnel, or there's a launch coming and they, you know, hadn't really planned for something, or whatever the case is. It happens very often. And I think that's something that, you know, you spoke about, like, what are the things that we have to tell our clients all the time? It's understanding the time it takes to get things done properly. And I think one of our values that we're quite particular about is not just getting stuff out there just to get stuff out there. And it doesn't mean to say that it's going to take months and months before your marketing kicks off. But it's important to make sure that you are considering the right things and not just panicking. Because like I said to you, there's lots of quick fixes you can throw your money at. You can get marketing done. You know, you can write a 6-month campaign with ChatGPT today with the artwork and the copy done, and you can even do video in that time. So I think, yeah, you have to be a little bit more considerate and not panic. You've got to almost slow down to speed up.
I think that's a very good point you made there, to slow down to speed up. And I think if you slow down enough, then you can build in that consistency. Because like I see in the connecting space is people are so busy, and then, okay, I've got this day off, let me go and do some networking. But if they'd scheduled stuff a little bit easier and been, I think, kinder to their staff and their teams around them, then they would have built in the consistency. And I think the same applies to the marketing. If you create space to do it on a consistent basis, then I think the dividends are gonna come. And maybe it's something that we heard at the Suits and Sneakers event recently with Alan Race. It's like you need to put your different hats on. So as a business owner, you might be a one-man band, or you might have a very small team. You almost need to put your marketing hat on and stop long enough to think, okay, what is actually going on? Then you have to put your finance hat on, you put your HR hat on, you put your sales hat on. And I think that's where partnering with someone like you that can almost slow down the process. I think that's a wonderful, that's why you bring experts on board to help you in these situations. Otherwise you just repeat the same mistakes. You panic market, you throw stuff and see what sticks. Would you agree with that?
100%. I think one of the greatest lessons you can learn as a business owner is letting the experts do the things that, you know, they're good at, and you can't be the person who controls everything. So bringing someone in who's got years and years of experience in that one silo of your business is really, really important. And I think, you know, touching on what you were saying now about networking as well, very similarly to marketing, is authenticity is key, you know, and also the way you mentioned about people panic marketing. I think they want to push a sales message out all the time, and that comes across in their marketing. But being authentic about what it is that you're doing and who you're trying to connect with, being able to add value to your customers, whether it be online or in person or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, is so much more impactful in the long run than just selling or just trying to get your message out there, trying to connect with people. If you can add value in what you're doing and make sure that you are doing something that is not just beneficial for you, but really for the people that you're trying to reach, it's so key. You know, I speak about community all the time, and it's what we see in the social media space, with eventing, with whatever the case is, being able to understand your community and to contribute, because that's essentially what your client base is. It's a community that you're developing. I think it's huge in terms of the impact that it has in your business and with your relationships with your clients.
I love that answer. And also, oftentimes you might come in as a service provider, and you're doing all this great work, and they've given you a bit of runway and some budget to do stuff. But then, because the business owner just can't get out of their own way, so that they almost jeopardize the marketing strategy. They fall back into these old habits, and they're like, no, but I'm just going to do it myself. I know what I'm doing. And then it just delays the impact that you can have by letting the experts run it. Just trust the people that you've brought on board to do this. Like, literally disconnect from making all the decisions and say, look, I'm making a decision to trust Kirsten, or I'm making a decision to trust the Pink Soda team. I'm going to trust them on the community side. Remember, you've got access to a whole bunch of case studies and other clients where you've seen certain things work. The business owner is only seeing their own business in their own market or their own industry or niche. So there is no way you have the same amount of information. It's just impossible. So to try and undermine them because you in your BCom did a one semester course, marketing 101 back in the day, that's just not the right way to do it. So I love that answer, especially what you said about the community there. I think that's something that people easily miss.
It's so funny. You make me laugh with that, because I have literally had people who have listened to one marketing podcast, have read a blog, or have done an online course for free somewhere. And then they come and tell us, sorry, no, but you guys are wrong because I've heard this and whatever. And someone actually said to me the other day, you know, like I've been running a business for 7 years, and they were like, well, you're basically a doctor. You know, someone studies for 7 years to become a doctor. And if you go and see your doctor, you trust them literally with your life. You trust them with the medical advice that they give you. So if they say, look, we need to cut off your leg, and they're going to like go and actually cut your leg off, or whatever the severe operation may be, you trust them because they are the medical experts. And it's the same thing, you know, we have our expertise, exactly like you say. We dedicate our lives to this. We study it every single day. We are also listening to the podcasts and reading the blogs and doing the courses, and we see it live all the time. We analyze the data across industries, and so it doesn't happen often, but sometimes you do need to have that convincing conversation.
No, wonderful, Kirsten. So here at the Right Place podcast, we believe you're right place is at the intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. So I just want to pivot in that direction a bit and talk about your roles. So Kirsten, which roles have you felt have kind of shaped your career so far?
I love anything to do with being able to creative direct. If I'm in that space, being able to bring what was a vision to life is my absolute happy place. I'd say that's one role that I really, really love. You know, sitting on the set when we've planned out a video production and being able to direct each little element and you know, shot and the background and the colors and whoever's in it is just amazing to be able to take what's in here and put it into it. You know, content is just my favorite. And I would say the second role that I really love is being able to teach, to share insights, to stand in front of an audience or hop on a webinar or a podcast just like this and be able to share my story and share the things that I've been through. I think like teaching and speaking about what I do and you know, it's such a passion filled space that I really love being able to share that.
No, excellent. And I think that teaching element is really important. I'm a firm believer in that you need to eventually give back somehow. The knowledge that you've gathered, the experience, the insights, people, and it's not just about people will pay you for that. It's, I mean, people need that type of information. You didn't get to where you were just by going and studying. There were people that gave you an opportunity or people that sat you down and said, hey, let me explain this to you or let me show you how this works. So that sharing of knowledge, especially in a place that is so competitive as marketing, I think is really important. Is there someone that comes to mind that helped you along, that sat you down one day or someone that became a bit of a mentor over the years?
I think there's many people, especially funny enough at the moment, you know, as your career grows and your business grows, you tend to look out for more and more mentorship. But over the years, I've certainly had so many different people who have modeled my path in life, starting obviously from my immediate family. My mother was always like, you know, she always had this saying, the world is your oyster, you can be whatever you want. And that was always kind of like echoing in the back of my head. My dad, very creative, very, you know, musically involved. And him and I sit and have these long philosophical conversations. I've got a sister who's very, very ambitious and driven and go, go, go. So I think from that perspective, there was really nice grounding. And then as I've moved on, I've had some great leadership. I remember a manager of mine, quite a few years before I started my business, was just incredible. Rita Christopher's very, very strong woman, very intimidating initially. And I remember that on my very first day at work, she called me into a one-on-one and she took me aside and said, right, tell me what your goals are for the next 5 years. I want to know them now so I know how to support you. And if your goal is to take my job in 5 years, I will help you do that. And I remember sitting back going, whoa, that's like, I wasn't expecting that. That was very refreshing. So I think there were a lot of lessons for me in that role from a leadership perspective. She was always very firm about protecting what she stood for and protecting her team. And I think that's something that I've taken on. And then at the moment, as I mentioned, really leaning in quite hard to mentorship. I get a lot from the Civitas group, the network that I'm part of, Suits and Sneakers. Mark is always an amazing person to just bounce an idea off or get some, you know, inspiration from. I'm working very closely with Craig Rodney, who is a total genius in the agency space. I think he understands the nuances of agency life like no one else. And then lastly, to add to my collection my mentors is Dave Betts. I'm working with at the moment on a life coaching, lifestyle, business coaching sort of angle. And yeah, I find it really important to get lots of different perspectives. Personally, I find that I tend to influence myself. I convince myself of what's right and what's wrong. So being able to reach out to people who have already been there and done that and can offer a fresh perspective is hugely helpful when it comes to developing yourself and your business.
No, that's wonderful. I think if you surround yourself with the right people and you build this network of trusted advisors and people that you can have access to, and not just to take from them, but to give them value as well, to be a shoulder to cry on when they need it, that can really help you. Because, I mean, it's been said so many times, the business owner's journey is lonely. And you have these times where things are slowly falling apart or not quite working out the way that you wish. And you need people around you. And like you said, I mean, we met through Suits and Sneakers, which has been properly life-changing for me. It was a proper networking up moment last year, joining them, meeting you, meeting Grant, meeting Mark as well, and now attending the Suits and Sneakers events in Cape Town. It's just been really, really awesome. And having these key people as part of your journey and just sitting at their feet and just absorbing their wisdom or hearing what they're focusing on. I mean, that can really, really help. So Kirsten, you're obviously not scared to network. We've bumped into each other at a few networking events. What is your mindset and approach to networking, and how do you go about doing what you do at networking events?
I think it's similar to what I spoke about earlier. I mean, I love meeting new people. I love connecting. I love storytelling. If you catch me on a good day, I can be in conversation for a very long time. And I think networking for me is really just an opportunity to connect with like-minded people. I don't approach networking from a selling perspective. I don't go in to sell when I network. I go in to connect. And I think like opening up and listening to other people's stories, there's so much opportunity not only to grow your business, but to learn and just open up your perspective and insight. So I have a very varied network in terms of the types of people that I spend time with. But it's hugely, hugely beneficial. I think it's amazing. And to like hop on the stereotype, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But I think having the right people in your corner seriously helps to unlock the doors that you wouldn't have been able to, you know, if you hadn't been out there networking and connecting with people.
No, that's wonderful. I think that's a very level-headed approach. I think if people just see networking from a sales point of view, they're literally missing 80% of what networking is about, which is literally just meeting people, hearing what other people are talking about, hearing if they also struggling with the same thing that you're struggling with, learning from people that are maybe a couple of steps ahead of you. I mean, that's invaluable. And, you know, as Renier also says, like you're just one conversation away from changing your trajectory. So you're not one sale away from becoming a billionaire. You're just like one conversation away from, hey, I've never thought about that. What if we added that to our strategy, or what if we changed our approach, or what if we spoke to our clients in a certain way? And that is the beauty of networking. It's not always stuff that you're not every single networking event you go into attend is going to be mind-blowing and you meet 1,000 different people and you sell. But these little moments where you learn something. I mean, you know, just the recent event with Alan Race was mind-blowing. There were so many interesting takeaways, so many comments that he made. And that is proper stuff that can sit with you, just resonates with you. And you know, it just adds to your collection of wisdom that you pick up on. Now when you're attending these events and you're telling people about Pink Soda and what you do, how do you then differentiate Pink Soda from other marketing agencies out there? I mean, why should someone do business with Kirsten and the Pink Soda team?
Very good question. I think funny enough, we end up networking a lot with other agencies too. And, you know, the one nice thing about it is being able to, similar to what you're saying about Alon's event, is I think when you realize that you're not the only one, you know, and other people are going through similar things, it's really mind-blowing. But networking with other agencies and just understanding the marketing landscape as it is made me realize that there is so much going on and everyone has a different sort of niche. And once you understand that, then it obviously makes it so much easier to get out there. And we've started understanding our niche as being very specific in terms of the B2B space. I love it because it's the typically unsexy space. It's the space that, you know, other agencies don't go and strive for. They want to be on the Coke accounts and the Vodacom and the whatever else. And we are really passionate about working with businesses who are in the B2B space because there's so much opportunity to change things. And I think what makes us different is being outcome focused and not necessarily output. So we don't sell a particular service, we sell the outcome. And just in terms of how we run, you know, we are very relational as a business. We have very good relationships with our clients. We feel a part of their team. So when we take something on, we take it on because we feel really passionate about it. So we feel like an extension of their team. And I think that relays in all execution, being it, you know, a social media post that's really clear and accurate to the industry or what it is that we're trying to do. I think that's great. And the fact that we are really innovative in this space, you know, so we bring that B2C energy. We look at B2B businesses with a B2C mindset and say, how can we make this sexy? How can we make this really attractive, you know, make the adverts stand out? There's so many ads that get shared on B2C brands that people think are amazing and want to, you know, wow, shout about. How do you bring that energy into a space that is often left in the shadows and yeah, not brought into the spotlight as much? So I think that's what makes us different, and that's what makes us really good at playing in that particular space.
No, that's a great answer. I really think the relationship side is important, and not just treating your customers as a customer, but treating them as someone that you really want to walk a journey with. You want to be a part of their success story. You want them to achieve even more than what you proposed on paper. And if you can position yourself that way and you add value along the way and you understand the importance of relationships, I think you're going to go really far. And also treating them with respect. I mean, they're also under pressure. You're as a business owner at Pink Soda is also under pressure to deliver. So giving each other space and grace to fail, to support each other, I think is a wonderful approach to adopt. Now, Kirsten, let's talk about environments. What creative environment gives you the most energy? Something that you just want to dive into and go crazy? Is it like a creative challenge? Is it a tight deadline? Is it a client that's just irritating you and you just want to prove them wrong? Or is it just like a blank canvas type of thing?
I think it's the creative challenge. So a blank canvas is obviously always fun. But there's also the difficulty with a blank canvas is that what I see in my mind and what someone else sees is completely different. So being able to align on the end goal of a blank canvas is sometimes difficult. There's just lots of room for doing all kinds of different things. Whereas I love to problem solve. I love a challenge. I think what I love bringing forward is like my individual sort of passion is being able to look at something that's very expected and typical and say, how do we make this the unexpected? So, for example, if someone says we want to, you know, run a Google search campaign because it's going to give us X, Y, and Z, well, that's the typical, right? That's the expected. And maybe it is the right answer. But if I'm in brainstorming mode and I want to make this different, I would go literally, what is the opposite? What is the total opposite? Is it a postcard? Is it a post-it left on someone's desk? Like, you know, being able to rip that creativity, the boundaries open and say, how can we be really, really innovative? And it sounds often quite crazy, so I don't always take people down that road with me, but then the path that it leads me to is innovation. And then being able to show that and present the unexpected, I think that's really where I thrive. That's what I love. I love like really saying, how can we be unexpected about this? How can we do things completely differently to what has always been done?
No, that's wonderful. And now, Kirsten, you've got a dynamic team of ladies that work with you at Pink Soda. So how do you translate that environment that you thrive into an environment that can be comfortable for everyone to work in? I mean, is it a lot of communication? Is it a lot of more one-on-ones maybe to find what is the best environment for your staff to get the most out of them or to help them do their best work?
We have a mix of both. So we have our weekly sessions. I think it's really important for me that as a team, we are all on the same page. So understanding what, you know, which project everyone's busy with, what point they are at, because in some cases we might need person X's involvement in person Y's project or being able to bring all our different experience together to solve a problem. So I think it's really important for me that we have a lot of collaborative discussions about things and then one-on-one being able to personalize each individual's path is also quite important. But we do some fun things to keep the creativity there. We have a weekly session called Thoughtful Thursdays, and every week it's a rotation. Someone has to present something thought-provoking, and that's what we start our Friday morning meetings with, is we discuss that. So it kind of, you know, it takes the edge off a meeting on a Friday morning. It allows us all to share our different interpretations of whatever was shared. So we do a lot of those sorts of things that just help keep the space really collaborative. And I think we try not to work on anything where there's not a real shared passion and like everyone's aligned with what it is that we're trying to achieve.
Okay, excellent. I think that's a wonderful approach. I think it's something that you could add value to the staff and you can learn from each other. And I think that just activates the collaboration a lot there. Yeah, that's really, really excellent. Kirsten, we almost come to the end of our conversation. So in a nutshell, Kirsten, if someone is stuck in outdated legacy marketing, banging their head against the wall, overwhelmed with AI, overwhelmed with what am I going to do next, what is one thing that they can maybe start with that will help them on a better marketing journey for their business?
Being able to just break things down into smaller, more logical steps makes a huge difference. I think, you know, change is overwhelming. It can very much put people into like analysis paralysis. And when you don't know the answer, it's difficult to get to it. You know, it's like, I don't actually know what to do to fix the problem or how to get out of this. But I think when you can break it down and really start to unpack some of the most basic questions. So we'll normally send a questionnaire out to our clients before we start workshopping any strategy with them. And some of the questions seem really, really basic. But when you start thinking about it and applying your mind to it and writing it down, whether it be on, you know, in a notebook or online, the answers start to reveal themselves. So being able to just like focus on each little thing. What is the problem that I'm trying to solve in my business? What is the problem I'm trying to solve for my customers? And often people go, yeah, but we know that stuff. But write it down, put it into words. You know, just the little most obvious questions and then being able to build on that, I think that unlocks a lot more strategy and ideas than people would think.
Excellent. I love that approach. I think it's important for people, if they can just sit still long enough, they can start getting their ducks in a row. I think oftentimes we're so frantic and we're just thinking about the next email, the next meeting, the next deliverable. And then we just repeat the same mistakes over and then we just never get out of our own way. We just never slow down enough. And I think that's also what we spoke about earlier. I mean, like, you need to slow down. You need to just take a step back. Because
you have a clear objective and then sticking to your guns with it. You know, I think when you're trying to achieve too much, that's also, you know, a big fault that people often have is they want to achieve everything in a short amount of time, but they're not clearly focusing on one thing. And if you break up the word focus, follow one course until successful, you know, so just being able to like focus on one thing, make that thing really, really successful and then move on to the next. I think that's an often overlooked aspect to just keeping it simple.
Excellent. I couldn't agree more. Now, Kirsten, what is your word of 2025 or a quote that you meditate on or think of regularly that's given you a little bit of direction this year?
In terms of word of the year, because I love to set an intention. So my word of the year this year was consistency, which I think, again, has so much more power than people realize. It's just being able to be consistent with your efforts. There is one quote that comes up so regularly for me, and it is, you know, in any time of doubt or growth or whatever, it's The Man in the Arena by Theodore Roosevelt, quite well known, but just absolutely beautiful. It says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat." Very long quote, but I think the point of it is just like, as long as you are in the arena and you are fighting, you are doing so much more than other people are. So if you're feeling like you're down and the dirt's being kicked in your face, you know you're in the right space.
No, I mean, I think that's the first time I've ever gotten goosebumps on a podcast recording it. That quote and that story, I mean, it's so visual. It's so, you can just imagine it. I mean, it's very, I mean, it makes me think of obviously like movies like Gladiator and things like that. Just being in that arena, you just got to pick yourself up every day. Just remind yourself, I'm in the arena. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I'm fighting the good fight. And yes, there's going to be ups and downs, going to be lonely times, but I mean, there's other people around you as well, also in the arena, and you can support each other and help each other there. Now, Kirsten, we always end off our podcast with the same question. So here in 2025, what does being in your right place look like?
I think being in your right place is being in a place of agility and evolution, being open to the fact that where you are right now or your right place right now may not be the same place by the end of the year. I think we are in a time where, you know, there's so much room for learning and experiencing, and the world is changing so rapidly that if you are open to evolving and changing and being more agile, that is the right place for you.
I love that answer. I love that answer. I think it's so important to reflect on this as well. It's not going to be a destination. It's more like a journey. And at different points in time, different seasons of your life, you're in the right place. But it can also change at a moment's notice. It can also change depending on the opportunity or something that happens in your family or your clients or your business. So I think it's important to reflect on something like that. Kirsten, this has been such a fascinating discussion. I think we could unpack marketing in so many different directions. Maybe we'll do that one day. Thank you for sharing more about you, about Pink Soda, about your insights on marketing. If people want to learn more about you and what you offer at Pink Soda, what is the best way to contact you?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. It's Kirsten Dixon on LinkedIn. Otherwise, at Pink Soda Marketing on most platforms, kirsten@pinksodamarketing.co.za if you want to pop me an email. As I said earlier, I love connecting. I love sharing insights. So yeah, pop me a message and I'll be super happy to connect and share some details with you.
No, excellent, Kirsten. Ladies and gentlemen, please connect with Kirsten. Please connect with Pink Soda Marketing, especially on LinkedIn. I follow Kirsten on LinkedIn. She's really got some interesting stuff that she's sharing there on a very regular basis. Please remember to subscribe to the Right Place podcast and please share this episode with any of your connections or your supporters or your friends who are struggling in the marketing space. Please reach out to Kirsten. As you can see, she's very friendly, very helpful. And Kirsten, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Love being here, and I hope we get to do it again soon.
Awesome, Kirsten. Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you next time at the right place.